our boxes. We're going to hear more about that. This is a special Sunday, and as has been said, actually, Doug came up and talked to the praise team before service when they were practicing and reminded them there's a story in every box. And this is a day of story. If you packed a box, you know this. If you didn't, then maybe you didn't, but maybe you don't, but there are handprints. The ones we did at packing party have handprints. There are people who have put in verses and their own pictures, and there's this linkage of the story of Jesus. And that's where we find ourselves at this, the 10th week and the end of this series on discipleship. It's about telling our story or sharing our story. And we are advised in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, advised. We are informed about what disciples do. This is not a call to do something. This is a statement of, if you are a disciple, this is who you are. And Jesus uttered these words before he was taken up, until we see him again, his parting words. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That's telling the story. Telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Here in this one verse, we find that we're supposed to share the story right next to us, the person sitting next to us, or living next to us, or the person across the belt, if you do that. Still, and the cashier that's there, the person at the auto parts store. It's with family members at all times. It's with people you pass, and it's with people who will never meet you personally, most likely, until heaven. We're called to share the story. Actually, the word witness means that. It means I share the story of something I've experienced. That's what a witness does. A witness doesn't convince people. Guess whose job that is? It's the Holy Spirit's job. We don't take over his job. We do our own calling. And as disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes upon disciples, and that happened in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and everyone now who receives Jesus as their personal Savior has the witness of the Spirit come upon them, and we become witnesses. So in all of the things we've talked about in our series on discipleship, this is the place where we take all we're learning and continuing to learn, and we're passing it on to other people. I don't know how stories affect you in your life, but I remember the stories of my Grandma Reinhardt. She was my friendly grandma. I had another one that I don't talk about very much, but Grandma Reinhardt was a blast to be around, and she was born in the late 1800s. And could tell the story of riding in a Conestoga wagon. You know, the wagon train with the canvas. And I, as a child, I was fascinated. And I'm not much of a history person, but when somebody tells me a personal story about history, man, can I get engaged. And that is what our stories do. They engage people and bring life to what can seem a theoretical in our belief in Jesus, or like another option, or like something that we're talking about concerning someone else. And you know yourself, the stories that affect you sometimes bring tears to your eyes or make you laugh, or a whole range of emotions are the ones where that person you're talking to, you're hearing their story, you're going, wow. I find myself saying that inward and outward. Wow, that happened to you. Wow, you were involved in that. And we have a story to tell. We've been talking about that story all along. And so we're going to look at a storytelling in the New Testament to just give us a little reminder of some things. This is not going to take long, because we want to commission these story boxes to go forward. But turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to John chapter 9. Or look up on the screen, and if you have a handout, there are a few blanks, but not a lot this morning. Number one, the story unfolds. Here's what happened. So something always happened that leads to the story that's going to be told. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. That's what happens when we tell our story, by the way. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. There's the story. That's not the story we want to have, is it? Where somebody spits and puts some gook on our eyes. But man, what a story. It makes a great story. This guy had a story about Jesus to tell, a very personal story. So the second thing, if you have a handout and are keeping track of those blanks, the personal story then is told. It happened and then it's told. So we already see we need to be in a place where we remember our story with Jesus. Never lose track of it. Never stop reciting it. Never stop reliving it. We all, if we're in Christ Jesus, have this story. Not his same story, but a story. So, we go on in the same passage. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was, and others said, no, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I'm the same one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I see. He told this story. What do we see in this story? There's simplicity in this story. He didn't embellish it with a bunch of other stuff. Sometimes I get personally caught up when I'm sharing the story beyond my personal and trying to bring people into a salvation. I can, you know, get loaded up with details and theology, and not that I'm a theologian. I don't ever confess to do that. But here is the power in the story, is he kept it simple. In the 15th verse of this same passage, the Pharisees asked the man all about it, so he told them, he put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. He told that story. And this was like these were religious leaders. Sometimes we change our stories, right? Depending on who we're with. And there's some context to do that, to connect with people. But he could have been cowed because these were people of position and power. But as often happens, when people encounter Jesus, the fear of others melts away. We have to work on that too sometimes. So the Pharisees said, what about it? And you know, they had an agenda. They wanted to accuse Jesus of doing wrong things and at wrong times, and they were jealous of him and wanted him out of the way, and the guy just told the story. Who can argue with your story? No one can argue with your story. It happened to you, just like it happened to this man. We see the simplicity, and we see one other thing. We see consistency. He told his story over and over again. So for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him, God should get the glory for this, because we know this man's a sinner. I don't know whether he's a sinner, the man replied, but I know this, I was blind and now I can see. That's the story. We are blind and now we see spiritually, holistically, the blindness of not being with him, but little places and compartments that he gives us revelation. I am thanking him in these last 3 weeks for some revelation about myself that has enabled me to do something about aspects of myself. And he reveals it when we're ready. And so he had this consistency. I was blind and now I see. He told it again and again and again and again. He told the story. He didn't shrink back. So the story unfolded, the personal story is told, and then number three, the Jesus story is told. So we need to tell our part in it, but we must not leave out the fullness of Jesus as a part of it. And so it's still in this same passage. So you see what happened. This guy was healed of blindness he was born with. He told his friends, they didn't believe him, and some community people who didn't even recognize him or didn't want to say, well, he only looks like him. And he kept telling the story to an ever-widening circle and to the Pharisees, and they called him in, and And then he went on in verses 30 through 33, when they said, he can't be, because they couldn't accept who Jesus was. Why, that's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. And so he links not just the name of Jesus, but who Jesus is. Jesus is from God, the Son of God. He's the one who did this. The Pharisees would not believe that Jesus could have come from God. You see, the man did not say anything different or try to convince. He just said, seems pretty plain to me, only God could do something like this. So for me, I worship him as God, the one who comes from God. That's simply it about telling our story. If you have accepted Christ, you have a story of how you came. When you are walking in discipleship, all the other 9 weeks that we've talked about the elements of discipleship, giving and serving and being in the Word and being in prayer, you can go back and look at them all. You can just look at the, the outlines aren't filled in, so you have to kind of listen to it to fill them in, but at our website, we have all of them. And our story begins with our initial receiving of Jesus, but it continues to be told as we walk in discipleship with him, and then it gives us more stories to tell. And he turns tragedy into a story you can tell about him and his grace and his power and his love. I remarked this to someone recently. I never could have dreamed that divorce would be a part of my life. But it became a part of my life. And guess what Jesus did? He told a story about forgiveness and healing that now I have an additional element to my story that I can tell to people who are going through that same thing and know that God still loves and leads and directs and will use. Your story is the same. Every element of your story that you are having built in you as you walk in discipleship becomes an element of story you get to share with other people. It unfolds in our discipleship and grows with us. Now, the silent witness of you being changed through discipleship will show. People can't help but see in you something's different. But our charge, according to Acts 1:8, is we will be witnesses. We will be verbal witnesses. We'll tie those ends together. We'll connect the dots when we serve our neighbors and our friends and our family. And as Pastor Mike said, love people who may seem difficult to love at first until God gets a hold of us and allows us to do that. So there's a line at the end of the handout that says, my story with Jesus. This needs some time for you to sit down and think about the simple story that you could share anywhere with anyone, and the story of you and Jesus and how he has intersected your life and led you and inviting other people into that simple, same, simple thing. Come and know Jesus for yourself. And I go back to the first kind of subtitle of the first message in this. Come have a part with Jesus. Take part with him. Just say yes. Yes to him. And as that story is told, his kingdom will grow. And the one thing we can do to contribute to Jesus coming is to witness, because he won't come until everyone who is destined for heaven has heard the message and said yes. And so we know we have a part in this. Acts 1:8, we tell our story in Jerusalem. We tell it throughout Judea. That's like Genesee County and Samaria, our region of the state, or Michigan, and to the ends of the earth. And we are about to pray for and commission these boxes where the story of Jesus will go to the ends of the earth. Before I turn this over to Doris and Pastor Mike and whoever her team is that are helping with this, I want to tell you we have a new opportunity, new exciting opportunity for you coming in 2023. We have just, a leadership team, formed a new missions team We haven't had one here for quite a while, as I understand it. And Pastor Doug, I'm going to start calling you Pastor Doug. I don't know why I don't do that. I know you don't like that, but you pastored and for a long time, and I think there's honor and respect that I want to show, and I want other people to hear that too. Has put the proposal together, and he's going to lead that first year. He's looking for a couple people to come alongside. And this is the end of the earth ministry, and it includes having missionaries come in and share their story with us that helps us invest in their story, sort of like we're investing in the story from other places this morning. Disciples, adherents, stuck to Jesus and becoming like him in image. Tell your story, and let's celebrate the telling of these OCC boxes. I'm going to pray, and then Doris, you'll come up and lead us in the rest of the portion of our service. Lord, thank you for story. Thank you that it's in story form. Thank you that you tell stories. The parables that we read and the way you arrange the word to be written. I love the beginning, the book of beginnings, Genesis. There's story upon story of your patience, your love and faithfulness, your power and glory all throughout your word and helping us to understand the principles of who you are by telling stories about rich men and sick people and widows and all sorts of stories that you weaved into our life. And I believe you created us to be hearers of stories and storytellers because that's who you are and we're made in your image. We thank you that you give us a common story, but also an individual personal story, and that you have reserved for each of us a certain group of people to whom we will have an opportunity to tell our story. I pray, Lord, you would help us be ready to tell our story and continue to add what you add to us as we walk in discipleship. And Lord, help us to claim this name of disciple and all you meant it to mean for us as we adhere to you and do difficult things in this world, but they will lose their difficulty when we submit them to you and walk in your way, and you will give us joy in that. And you will change the world. You'll rescue those who are perishing. And I pray, Lord, if anyone today doesn't know you personally, they don't have the story of saying, yes, Jesus, I want you to be the leader of my life, so I turn my life over, accept the forgiveness of my sins, and I will endeavor to walk with you now, that you would have people cross that line right now as this is happening this morning, and if any time when someone listens to this later, and we'll give you the glory for that. Now, Lord, lead us in the proceedings that are happening for these OCC boxes, for children and families and perhaps nations that will be changed because your story and our stories are combined to tell that wonderful story of salvation to the world. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Doris?